Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Tamlin, and I'm excited to share with you from 1 Timothy 4. When I first read it, I thought, I'm just going to read it because this is all, it's pretty clear. But God gave me some great truths that I hope will mean as much to you as they did to me. When I first read it, it just sounded like a bunch of rules. Rules for living, but also rules for protection. And I thought about all the places we have rules in our life. And I thought about traffic rules, and there's rules about my kids went to private school for a long time. There's lots of rules in private school. But now in public school, there's lots of rules in public school. And there's traffic rules. And we have rules in our city about how long your bushes can be in the alley and all kinds of ordinances and rules. But probably some of the strictest rules are my children's extracurricular, namely my daughter's dance team, which is like the military. So I thought of this whole military thing, and I thought about when we're giving a list of rules or when we're given instructions, our response should be, sir, yes, sir. We should be submissive like that and want to respond well. And so these rules of the military just reminded me of Paul wrote to Timothy and how he was giving him instructions and rules. But whereas in the military or on the dance team, they might just be rules that are made up. In Paul's letter, it is about rules for your protection. And it's like a loving parent who wants to tell their child, oh, no, don't forget this. And, oh, don't run out in the street. And don't talk to strangers. And then maybe when they're bigger, please don't get in the car with someone who's been drinking. And they're rules, but they're for the protection, and they're out of love. And our loving Father has given these words to Paul through the letter of Timothy so that we know how to act and rules that will protect us and be our covering. And it just made me think of that 1 Timothy 3:14, when he said, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves. And I thought, have you ever left with like a babysitter? Oh, and don't forget this. Oh, and don't forget that. And you just want to make sure that they know how to protect themselves and all the things that you want to convey to them. And so I just think that we need to come with these rules of instruction with a heart of, this is out of love for our protection and what we can do to follow these. And so I want to show you a clip of, this is about somebody who doesn't really quite embrace the rules, and she's thinking that I am an exception to the rules, and I would ask, do we ever think that? So let's watch a little clip from Private Benjamin.
Hate to interrupt you, but could I speak to you for a sec?
Oh, my Lord, Sergeant, would you look at this?
I've seen it, ma'am.
What's your name, Princess, huh?
Judy.
Judy.
Judy Benjamin.
Judy Benjamin.
I think they sent me to the wrong place.
Uh-huh.
See, I did join the Army, but I joined a different Army.
Uh-huh.
I joined the one with the condos and the private rooms. What? No, really, my recruiter, Jim Ballard, told me that.
I don't care what your lousy recruiter told you, Benjamin. I'm telling you, there is no other Army.
Wait a minute. I don't want to have to go to your boss or anything, okay? Look, to be truthful with you, I can't sleep in a room with 20 strangers.
Oh, dear.
And, I mean, look at this place. The Army couldn't afford drapes. I mean, I'll be up at the crack of dawn here. And I have to tell you, I am frankly a little shocked.
You're shocked?
Yes.
Why?
This place is a sty.
It's a sty?
Yeah, I mean, look. Look at these stains. God uh-huh. knows where this has been.
Yeah.
And have you seen the bathroom?
But do you think that the latrine, do you think that it's unsanitary?
Oh, it's disgusting.
Disgusting.
There are urinals in there.
Well, that's because this is the Army, Benjamin. It's not a sorority house. May I see your toothbrush, please? Please.
All right. So we see what happened to her when she did not think that she needed to follow the rules. So today, as we dive into 1 Timothy 4, I just thought as a way to remember Paul's words, we're going to compare what he has to say about rules for living with maybe the military, as God being our supreme commander. So let's start out with in chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. And I think, you know, so basically what this is saying to us is that we need to watch out for false teachers. And I think it would be really easy if it talked about deceiving spirits. I think, well, that, or a demon. That, if the person came to you in like a red suit with a tail and horns, you would know not to listen, right? But sometimes false teachers don't come in that way. And so Satan is trickier than that. And we know that in the military, a soldier cannot listen to the voice of anyone besides his commander. The enemy would love to deceive us into listening to another voice. But we must not abandon our commander being God, and knowing his voice. So you ask yourself, well, how do I know if it's God's voice? Well, how do you know if it's anybody's voice? You know it by spending time with them. That is how you know whose voice it is. And so we must know the real thing to detect the false. We, just as a cashier or a banker, they study real currency to be able to determine counterfeit. That's what we need to do with God. We need to be spending time with God to know his real voice so that we're not deceived by false teachers. John 10:27 tells us, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we must know God's voice to recognize his voice from a false voice. And we know that listening to the one who has the big picture. So just as if you were in combat and you were a soldier, you would know your commander's voice and you would listen to it because you know that he knows the big picture. So it may not make sense to you at the time, but you trust your commander and you know that he knows the big picture. And so I thought to myself, who are the false teachers that could be in my life? And I know for myself, I was receiving an email devotional that I liked it because it was very upbeat and positive. You know, it'd say have really good attitude and good things will happen to you. And then I realized, you know, that is taken out of context because I would look and the scripture was there. It was the word of God, but it was being twisted because it was pulled out or it wasn't in a full context. And so we need to be aware of that. So I unsubscribed, but it was actually attractive. And so I can see where false teachers could be attractive when maybe there are promises that are held false out there. But we need to cut them off and not listen to things that are false. And so I also thought about things like the media. I mean, am I thin enough? Are my teeth white enough? Is my breath fresh enough? Is my hair blonde enough? I mean, the media is throwing false things to us all the time. Or even your friendship circles. Are you hearing false messages from your friends? Are you somewhere where people are telling you, well, if he did that to me, I would just get even with him? Or maybe you're hearing people like in lunch bunches or charity meeting, auction meetings, or, you know, committees where people are giving you false advice. So you really need to listen. It's not just the TV evangelist that we need to be aware of, but just be anybody that's feeding you false information. And how do we know if it's false? It's if we compare it with the Word of God and knowing his voice. And we'll get to that in a little bit also. So we move on. In verse 3, it says, they forbid people to marry and ordered them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer. And so what these verses say to me is that we need to use discipline. What God created is good, but we don't need to overdo it. And some of the things that I would say that our culture is that takes this out of context are, it's food for sure. It's food is good. If God made it, we need it when we're hungry. It's fuel for our body. But when we overuse it or use it at the wrong time or maybe eat the wrong things, then that's not good. Sex is great within marriage, but people use it outside of marriage. And so it's not good. So it's something that God created for good that men take and overdo and make it for our own gratification. And so God gives us all kinds of things that are good, but we turn around and misuse. And also, so I kind of thought of this as using discipline, using the things that are good, but not overdoing it. So in the military, we know that they use all kinds of discipline because and it could cost them their life if they don't follow what they're supposed to do. And so we too should take that command seriously. As we move on, the next thing I thought of was from verses 6 and 7 are that we need to know the truth. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. And I thought, you know, when we know truth and good teaching, we know they're foundational for success. When you follow someone, you don't want to follow someone that doesn't give you truth or doesn't give you good teaching. And so we gravitate to the godless myths or the old wives' tales when we don't have the truth. So like, let's say somebody who's pregnant and they don't want to find out through medical science what it is. So then you start doing these tests on them with strings and urine and all kinds of things to find out what it is. So we kind of go to the old wives' tales because we don't know the truth. And so we need to know the truth and follow a leader who knows the truth. We don't want to misuse that. We know that the words of God are truth. And so we need to be able to recognize his words that aren't ours. And I used to, I could so relate to this story that I want to read to you. It's from Genesis. Let's look at the story of Adam and Eve and the serpent. In Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work at it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" So that's exactly what God said. That is his word. And so now we move on a few verses later, and in Genesis 3:1, now he's talking with Eve, and he says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'Well, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, or you must not touch it, or you will die.'" Now, if you look back up to that, he didn't say anything about touching it. And so I just thought to myself, this is so me when I don't know my scripture well. I think, well, it's kind of about da-da-da-da, and it's paraphrased by the gospel according to Elizabeth. And that's not what we want to do. So we have the word of God. He's given it to us, and we have a responsibility to test the teaching we receive with the actual word of God. And I love it in our church. We are encouraged to challenge any teacher that is up here or on Sundays to compare it with the word of God, because don't take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. We have that responsibility. I grew up in a church where I don't even think our family owned a Bible, but we went to church every Sunday. We heard Bible stories, but we didn't have anything to compare it with. And so when I became saved through Young Life, and I remember getting my first copy of The Way, which is the Living Bible, and it was amazing. I was at last able to have the word of God for me to compare with what I was learning. And so that's really important, to know the word of God and compare teaching with it, because we have the benefit of having the word of God that people back then didn't. And so that is a gift that we need to use and use it well. The next thing that I thought of that these verses talk about from verse 8 is that we need to train ourselves. And it says here, "Rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." And so we know in the military they do all kinds of training, which we call boot camp, and we see boot camps all over Dallas today, training and preparation for something. You wouldn't go to show up for a marathon after having not trained. And so we need to train our spiritual lives and walk as well. And we don't train ourselves to look better but to be ready, because we know from James that it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Not like, oh, maybe you will face a trial so you might be prepared. We will face trials of many kinds. So we need to be prepared. We need to have to know God's word and to spend time with him, to know his voice, so that we can be prepared for those trials. And we know that physical exercise is great, and it's great for the here and now. It doesn't do us any good in heaven, but it is good for now, because we need to be healthy so that we can serve God. If we can't serve God, then it would be limited if we don't take care of ourselves. So it is important. And we also know that our bodies are not our own. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." And again in Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." So taking care of yourselves physically is important, but more important to take care of yourself in your relationship with the Lord. Are you spending time with him? Are you in prayer? Do you know God's word? Are you hiding it in your heart? And so I would challenge you to time yourself. The next week, are you spending more time at the gym than you are in God's word? Because I think that he would have something to say about that. The next thing that I saw from these scriptures is that we need to use good strategy. Verses 9 and 10. "This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. And so this verse is giving us a strategy. Just like in the military, they have strategy for offense, and they have strategy for defense, and they have strategy for intelligence. We too need to have a good strategy for our lives. And the strategy here is from verse 10, and that is to put our hope in the living God. It's not to put our hope in our jobs or our house or our education or our children or our future or anything else, but hope in the living God. Only God will not let us down. The next thing that I saw from these verses from verse 11 was to command and teach these things, which I looked at is that's sharing information, right? And so we know in the military that they command and teach, they all kind of commands. And commands are not optional. That's the key there. They're not optional to do. And so we know that teaching is somebody sharing their wisdom, maybe something that they've walked the road and they can share what they know about it. So it tells us to do both of those things. And in Galatians 6:6, we see that anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. So sharing what we learn is part of community. It's part of growing in your walk. And we are commanded to do that. The next thing is set a good example no matter what your age. In verse 12, we see that we don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. And so we want to set a good example even if we are young. And we know that in combat, there's men very young that can't even drink alcohol legally that are in combat. They're young and they're serving our country. And so it just made me think that somebody who's young, they don't rely on what they did in the past. They are day to day. They are not relying on what they did yesterday. Versus I've seen couples that grow up and maybe they taught Sunday school and they were very involved in the church, but then they get older and they think, well, you know, that's kind of my season. I'm done with that. But so I can see where Paul's talking about here. You know, you have a fervor when you're young, and don't lose it. And we all need to be in the Word daily. Psalm 1:1 talks about, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And I thought, it doesn't matter what your age is. A young person has that excitement to be in the Word every single day. They're not relying on something from the past. It's a daily thing, and that's what God wants us to do, no matter what our age. Is to have that excitement, but it comes from a moment-by-moment walk with Christ, not something that we're relying on that we learned in the past. So the verse goes on, but set an example for the believers in speech, life, love, faith, and purity. So first we look at speech, and we learned about speech back in James, where we learned, my dear brothers, take note of this, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So we know that our words matter. We talked about that back from James, that we need to choose wisely what we say, how we say it, where we say it, how much we say. And also from Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So our words do matter, and we know that. When we see somebody speaking ugly, like at a restaurant or in line at Tom Thumb or something like that, and then we think, gosh, that didn't really match up with the life I thought they led. That leaves an impression for you. So to be authentic in your speech. Also, it talks about in life. So what you say and what you do must match. Also, what you do in public must match what you do in private. And so that's what I think of when I think about your life, setting an example in your life. Titus 1:16 takes note of this. It says, they claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Because their actions, okay? And then John 3:18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So our actions do matter. So when somebody's looking at our life, they're looking at what we do and how we act in all kind of situations. Also, the next one is be an example in love. And we know all the verses about love, patient, kind, all those good things. But if you skip down to if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And you know that's so true, that people are watching how we love and how we love others. Because without love, nothing matters. The next thing is faith. And we know that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. So it's believing God even when we don't know what the answer is going to be. It's believing him to be and do what he says he will do. And so that's another thing that we want to set an example in is having faith. And the last one is in purity. And I love the song and the psalm from 24 is, who may ascend the hill of the Lord, who may stand in his holy place, He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. He will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. So, again, it is turning to the Lord in a yieldedness and surrendering so that we can be pure in our hearts and in our lives. As we move on in verse 13, it says, "Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching." And so first I thought, well, I don't really have anything to say about that because it's pretty clear. But then the Lord totally revealed to me that the point here is that they gather together and that there's such benefit to that, that these are not things you do alone. We could all be at home listening to a sermon online, and we could do it all day long. There's so much out there, right? But coming together, there's benefit in that. The Christian walk is not to be done alone. It's not just about the information. It's about community. It's about accountability. It's about, like, did you hear what I hear? Did that mean anything to you? You know, what did you think about what was said there? It's about that builds into you. Or when you're in your small group and you hear another woman talk about something, you think, oh, I never thought of that. It's building into each other by publicly coming together and studying the Word of God. It also talked about preaching, which I think about preaching is like revelation from God and things that I've learned by studying it. But teaching is maybe more a personal aspect to it of like, let me walk alongside you because I've been there. I've done that. I can help you. And so the public reading, preaching, and teaching. And I thought of the verses from Proverbs 27:17 as iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. And that is so true. We need each other. We need to come together. We need to share. We need to learn from each other. There's accountability in that. So that if we've all heard the same thing, we can call each other if we see something that's not right. And Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. So again, coming together to learn and to share and to hold each other accountable. And this also makes me think of the Marines or in the military, that they know what is expected of them. And the public reading, preaching, and teaching, these are acts of making known what is expected. Just like in the military, they know what is expected. In verse 14, we move on. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. And we know that we've all been, when you receive Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit gives you a spiritual gift at that moment. And we can use those. And we know in the military they have experts at different things. There may be somebody that's an expert in weapons or strategy or maps or weather. And we, too, have been gifted in various ways. And I thought to myself, how if you ask me to bring food for something, that's not a good thing. But I could do something like, I could decorate the tables. Or if you ask me to be in charge of party games, no good. But if you ask me to organize something, maybe. So everybody's been given spiritual gifts that you want to, when you make commitments or pray about a commitment, consider whether or not that is in your giftedness area. But also realize that there is no spiritual gift for like setting up chairs. You just need to help. And so sometimes we're just asked to pitch in and help, and it's not a spiritual gift. So that doesn't give you permission to say, no, you know, that's not my spiritual gift. So serve well. But we all are gifted differently. And we know from the verses, well, 1 Peter 4:10, first of all, that each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And also those verses from Corinthians about the body is made up of a whole bunch of different parts and they all need each other, but we are one body. And that is how it is with the body of Christ as well. And then lastly, we read in 15 and 16, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. And to watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them. So I thought about diligence is to work hard and perseverance is to work long. And this is what we are called to do as part of the body of Christ, is to work hard and to work long to further the kingdom. And I just want to give you a summary of all these things and then wrap up. But I thought, so we want to watch out for false teachers, right? That's really important because if we listen to the wrong person, then everything is thrown off. We want to know our commander so that we will recognize false from what is true. We want to use discipline because the enemy would love to trick us into believing all kinds of things. We need to know the truth. we have been given it, and we need to know what it is. We need to train ourselves, and that inward is more important than outward, and we need to be in the Word of God and know Him and spend time with Him. We need to use good strategy, putting our hope in God, in the living God, not in the things of the world. And we need to share this information, commanding and teaching, not optional. And we need to set a good example no matter what our age. And we need to gather together to read publicly, to preach and teach, and to do your gifts and do them well. And then also to work long through diligence and work hard in diligence and work long in perseverance. So it made me think about, with this military theme, it made me think about just how when we follow God's laws and God's instructions, it is like a protective covering for us. And so I thought to myself, how, it may seem like a list of rules, but when I put this on and I cover myself, I'm so protected from bad things out there. And so that, I wanted to give you a visual, because I'm a visual person, but that we're protected from Satan. We're protected from the lies of the world. We are protected from wrong living if we follow these rules. We don't get to pick and choose like Goldie Hawn, but we are protected when we put on the covering of God and follow His ways. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these great truths. And I just pray that we would realize that each one of them is for each one of us, so we don't get to pick and choose. And I just pray that we would follow these rules that You've given us for instruction and for living. And You've given them to us as a loving Father who wants to protect each of us and help us to live right and not listen to wrong teaching or wrong motives. And we just, Lord, we just thank You for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.